This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alrighty, third hour here on the show. Tiki and Tierney, what's happening? Coming from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Want to see your loan options? Well, you can adjust payments as well, closing costs, do it all online in real time. The Rocket can. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, hour three. This show is flying by. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network here, SiriusXM 206, Twitter, at Tiki and Tierney, at Brandon Tierney. Want to get me individually? Had some good stuff on Brady that I know CBS Sports Network tweeted out. There's a little clip from the show encompassing my my strongest take about why I don't think Brady's going to have a big year. So that's on CBS Sports Network's Twitter page. I actually retweeted it, as did Tiki and Tierney. So you can find it there. Hope everybody's having a good Monday. Nota Begay, always enjoy talking golf with him. The game is in a great space. It really is. These young players are fearless. That's what's incredible. Fearless. All right. So the situation here is taking a pretty interesting shift in college football. We started the show, you know, talking about just how it's over. I mean, in essence, you know, the Big Ten has already determined reportedly that their season's over. They're going to announce that tomorrow, and that the Big 12 would follow suit. The Pac-12 would follow suit, and that the SEC and the ACC and the Big 12 would, you know, as I framed it the first hour, continue to hold on to that fraying rope as long as they can. And eventually have to, you know, come to the realization that's it, that there's no football. And the other thing I said too, you know, Major League Baseball, no fans, not really bothering me. PGA, yeah, I would have loved some people when Morikawa knocked it stiff on 16, but still, it was awesome. NBA, the bubble, and we've all adjusted to that. They've done a great job. Aesthetically, it looks cool. It pops off the TV. It sounds good. College football, though, it's all about the game, and it's all about the pageantry. And it's all about the different the traditions and college game day and the raucous student body and the band and, you know, everything that makes the college game just different. You know, that's why, you know, one thing that I've never understood, because I didn't go to a big school. I mean, conceptually, I understand it clearly. But, like, in terms of mattering, I was never able to compartmentalize why it matters so much. And now I obviously do. But for a while, I'm like, man, why would these college fans be revved up for this game when it has no bearing on the conference championship or the national championship? Well, it's because it's the experience, you know, it's the rally cry for the school and to be with your own and mix it up with alums and be out there and be a raucous student, you know, with no shirt and striped up and, you know, painted and whatever it might be. And I mean, of course, I would have watched the games, especially the SEC and the highest quality, the Big Ten, and a few others, Notre Dame, ACC, the Clemson, the ACC, Big 12 offense, a couple of teams in the Pac-12. Yeah, of course, I would have watched these games for my job, and Tiki and I would have been all over the big stories. And who knows, maybe there's this radical shift, and maybe the Big Ten coaches are planting seeds, which ultimately come to fruition, and I'll tell you what they are in a moment. But it was utterly depressing. Like, I was never able to get to a place, unlike the NFL, we're playing football this year, there's no doubt. I could just never bring myself to that place where I'm sitting down on a Saturday and I'm sitting on my couch and, like, I actually thought that it was possible to watch Clemson play whomever with not a single fan in the stadium. To watch Alabama play Auburn with not a single fan in the stadium. Like, I just... And I also knew that there'd be no fans. So anything that was contrary to that, like, well, we'll put out this plan and we'll get 15,000 people and we'll have social this. I just never viewed it as realistic. You know, ambitious is one way to frame it. Naive is probably another. But anyway, now we've got this movement and now we've got these coaches in the Big Ten. The line in the sand has been drawn. We know it. It is fighting time. And Scott Frost from Nebraska leading the way.
We want to play a Big Ten schedule. I hope that's what happens. Our university is committed to playing no matter what, no matter what that looks like and how that looks. We want to play no matter who it is or where it is. So we'll see how all those chips fall. We certainly hope it's in the Big Ten. If it isn't, I think we're prepared to look for other options.
Well, I mean, that last part is just that's just ridiculous. Look for other options. And what are you going to, I mean, I'm not even going to wait. That's just, that's a non-starter, not happening. D-Cell, do me a favor. Play the first part of that, all right? And because there's something that's a little irresponsible that's in there. I understand the messaging. And it's about, you know, a unified front and a passion for the game, which I absolutely respect. There's no question. But I'm going to tell you to stop it relatively fast. But D-Cell, play it and just be prepared to stop it when I tell you. Go ahead. Stop. Our university is prepared to play no matter what? Why would you say that? Our university is prepared to play no matter what. So I know I've referenced Rutgers a few times today and Michigan State. That's the height of irresponsibility. Imagine like the Rutgers president coming out and saying, or even Schiano, we're prepared to play football. The university is prepared to play football no matter what. I mean, I was going to say you can't say that. I guess you can. You shouldn't say that. That's glossing over too much stuff that's really important. So, and the last thing that he said, you know, if it's not in the Big Ten, we'll do whatever. Let's say that Nebraska was able to piece together a schedule, all right? I just want everybody to think about this. Let's say, let me pull up some teams here. I guess I could pull random teams, but I want to remember who already canceled, so it can't be a MAC team. What are they going to play, like, two teams from the... I can't even piece this together, I mean, theoretically. And even if they did have a 10 or an 8 or a 7-game schedule against teams that were not from the Big Ten, where the hell is the allure? First of all, what's the purpose? Because you're not making money because no one's going. So it's not monetarily driven. Yeah, I guess there's some network boxes that you check and, you know, residually you make money from that. But there's nothing that is leading you to or toward a national title because there'll be no divisional championship, conference championship or division within the conference, obviously. But there'll be no conference championship ultimately. There'll be no Final Four. There'll be no national semifinal games. There'll be no championship game. Like, you tell me you want to piece something together and crown your own champ. What do you want to become Central Florida? Hang a banner? We're the champions? I don't know. D-Cell, am I being unfair to Coach Frost there? That just seemed like, and I'm not even saying that it was like mean-spirited. Certainly, I think it was a little irresponsible, but it just seems like a pipe dream. What is he talking about?
But BT, what happens if Coach Frost isn't the only one? Like, okay. Could this actually happen, just a makeshift conference?
Well, they can play in the parking lot?
I mean, I don't know.
A makeshift conference. So all the renegades who are, you know what? I still don't think it happens. I think it sounds good. I think it gets people, you know, a little extra hope to hold on to some. But at the end of the day, this goes back to my theory from late June, June 22nd, pertaining to Bowdoin College. It starts small, and then there's a peer pressure, right, that seeps in that ultimately I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe, I mean, I get paid to give you opinions, and right now, almost the middle of August, my opinion is that everybody will cancel the season, either be forced to or willingly, And they will do so because of the seeds that were planted by Bowden and the Ivy and the desire to avoid being positioned as a callous, heartless, irresponsible university by just so flippantly ignoring the admonishments or the warnings. What? We can have a conference that's got two Big Ten teams, two Pac-12 teams. Is that what you mean? Like three ACC teams?
Right. Like,
do you really mean that?
Right. Like, what happens if, you know, later this week the SEC comes out and says, we're going to try and play? Okay, Nebraska, you want to play? Come play with us. Like, I don't know what happens.
You
then,
can't
like,
do that. You have conference affiliation. You'd have to, first of all, you'd have to do something that is unaffiliated with, I believe, legally. You can't just invite a non-member into your conference without filing paperwork. Think about it. What's the school? St. Thomas. St. Thomas in Minnesota, right? We had on their AD a couple of weeks back. They are going through the unprecedented, literally, transition from Division III immediately to D1. No transition. No like D2, and I think it's 5 years, whatever it might be, and you gradually get up to that threshold. But like, they had to file paperwork with the NCAA. There's a legal and professional protocol that you have to adhere to do this. Now, if you tell me that, you know, Penn State and Nebraska and Michigan and Iowa, I know Iowa's been out there, somebody, a school that wants to play as well. Those four teams, and maybe you throw two more in there that are in places that aren't hot spots. They try to piece together something with under the Big Ten umbrella. Far more feasible. Still, I don't think it would happen. But there's no way you can have a cross-section of teams and call it a conference unless you come up with a new conference name. D-Cell. I mean, I appreciate you, Wayne, but think about what we're talking about.
I mean, they found a way to get Notre Dame in the ACC.
But that was a pre-existing arrangement where they already played five or six games or that they were contractually or scheduled. They were obligated to. They're a part of the ACC and everything else.
I just feel if universities are motivated to play football games, they'll find a way to play football games. I'm not saying that they should. I just said if they want to, I think they'll find a way to do it.
Okay. I'm going to ask you, what is the benefit? You're not playing for a conference championship. I'm just going to lay out. Even if you're right, I do think you're partially right. I do believe that the motivation to do something like that is intense, and they will try. And I think that they'll fail. But everything needs, like, you do something because you're chasing a result. Like, when I got home from soccer today with the kids, did I want to go in the basement and do an hour and 15 minutes of battle ropes and boxing? And no, I don't want to do that. I'm in my 40s and I'm tired, right? But I do it so I don't look like a slob. So there's an end result that I'm chasing, right? I'm going on a little golf trip this week. I'm not flying. I'm driving. You know, I mean, did I want to go and hit balls the other day? It was 97 degrees out, but you know what? I want to play well when I play against my friends or with my friends. So I went. And I went before the show, and I was sweating my brains out. You do something because you're chasing something. So I'm going to ask you again. If they do what you think that they might do, what are they actually chasing tangibly?
I think we all know what it is. It all comes back to money.
But who's paying them? It's not the conference. There's no, you get money by being on TV for sure, but you get money by, first of all, playing in front of people and then eventually advancing to, if you're lucky enough, to the Final Four. And then that conference that gets there, they get money. It's dispersed everywhere. So what are they chasing? They're chasing the sport, which I respect. They're chasing competition, which I really respect, but they're not chasing reality, in my opinion. That's the way I see it. You know what I mean? Could be dead wrong. It's happened before. All right, coming up. What did Mike just tweet? Nebraska said they'll lose close to $80 million without a season. Okay, I hear you, Mike. That's without a conventional Big Ten season, which means there's Big Ten officials and Big Ten TV rights. If there's no Big Ten, but Big Ten teams are still playing, are they still reaping the rewards? I don't necessarily know the answer to that. My gut says no, but maybe Dennis Dodd will know. He's going to join us. He is as piped in as anybody. CBS Sports, he's going to join me next. We'll get these answers. I'm looking forward to this. Coming up next, Hickey and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free lines, 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Do you know that right now, GEICO offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? It's on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit GEICO.com to learn more. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. Tiki is out. We're back together tomorrow, which would be cool. So as we wait for Dennis Dodd, D-Cell, can you help me interpret something here?
Absolutely.
Okay, so earlier today, right, we had our driveway like retard, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like they retarded. So it was whatever. It was just getting a little. I didn't like the way it looked. So the guy comes this morning, does a good job. Right now we're at soccer. Only takes like 30 minutes to hot tar, whatever they do. And I sent him a text, right? And I wrote, "Sending more business your way." Now it was still drying. It takes a little bit to dry. I said, "Sending more business your way. My neighbor Dennis is going to be reaching out as well," right? And then I go out during one of our breaks, probably about 40 minutes ago, and I want to, you know, check on the tar, see how it's going. And the most of it looks phenomenal. It's like it's brand spanking new. It looks great. But there's a few areas that they look like footprints, even though I know they're not footprints, but the tar is significantly lighter, okay? So then I send him a picture of it, saying to myself, well, he'll obviously know. He'll have to come back and finish this. And he writes back, "Thank you very much." Now, is he writing back, "Thank you very much," because I sent them extra business? Or is he writing, "Thank you very much," because I sent them a picture and he's got to come back and fix it?
I think it's because he sent them extra business.
That's what
I don't think he wants any part of coming back.
That's what I'm thinking. That's not what I'm wanting, but that's what I'm thinking. Oh, man.
Now the question is, did he do that on purpose?
Meaning ignoring the picture and responding to the other one?
Correct.
Maybe, but here's the thing. If he comes and does my neighbor's house, it's right across the street.
Right.
So I know, you know, I'll say, "Hey, Dennis, when did you book it?" "Oh, he's coming on Thursday?" "Okay, I'll take a walk over. I have to talk to him." So, I mean, and he's a great guy. I'm messing around, but I just thought that was a very, very ambiguous. Thank you for the business, or thank you for pointing out so I can come and perfect my craft and do the job again. I don't know. Stay in an apartment for the rest of your life, D-Cell. Well, don't, you know what I mean?
Don't you love the yard?
No, I do. But it's a pain. It's so hard to keep the grass, and I'm a grass maniac. I am. I'm telling you, the older I get, there's nothing more rewarding than seeing my car go through a car wash. Like, I take strange joy in it. I mean, everybody likes it. I love it. Watering my grass and seeing them cut the lawn and then seeing the lines in the lawn. Like, I could just sit out there on the deck and just watch them. And I don't want to do because it makes it look like I'm, like, hawking them. Like, and they're great. But, yeah, those three little things that I've gotten a little bit older here. The car wash, watering the grass, and watching them cut the grass. Oh, man. Phenomenal. It's like you think I was going to a tropical island that I get so excited over them. It's crazy. But there's also problems when you move into a home. Got to worry about this. Got to worry about that. I really hope Dennis is able to do this today. I really want some answers, and he's a great guy to do it. Any update on that yet, D-Cell? Oh, man. I know he's got the CBS Sports HQ hit, a hard hit, at 5:30. I think it was communicated to us. So this is beginning to look a little iffy, and that stinks. I wanted that information. But listen, I mean, I just reiterate what I said before to an extent. I think that these are great rally cries and pressure points, and the tweets are galvanizing, and they'll get a ton of traction. I don't know what they do. I don't know what they solve. First of all, they're not making the decision, okay? You have to understand, the head coaches who are putting out the tweets have zero say in the matter. Zero. And, you know, it's to me, it's very just incredibly unrealistic to think that even with social media's potency, depending upon what it is, where we've seen things change because of social media missions, you know? I just don't see that this is going to have any bearing. I don't see it. And then here's the thing. It still comes down to, you know, independent state evaluation. So, again, trust me, whether or not Rutgers comes and plays one snap, the Big Ten doesn't care at all. That I could tell you. They do not care about Rutgers. Maybe a little bit when Schiano gets them going, if he does. And I think he might. I mean, they can't be worse than they are. But even if he gets them remotely competitive, it's probably advantageous to have, you know, Rutgers in the somewhat New York, New Jersey market to add a little bit of a different TV profile to the network, to the conference. But I don't know. I just think certain states are still in trouble. And you know what? We do have Dennis, which is tremendous. Dennis Dodd is with us. I know he's juggling. CBS Sports senior college football writer. Dennis, how you doing? I appreciate you coming on. You good?
I am good. Things are changing by the minute, but thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Let me just set you up, and you tell us. You're the source of info. What's the latest update? What in totality, what are you hearing about college football?
Well, it's not as dire as it was, I think, at the beginning of the day. Mm. You know, there was an erroneous report that the Big Ten was going to cancel football this morning. The presidents are meeting at the top of the hour. I do think that's going to happen in the Big Ten. I think it'll happen in the Pac-12. But then a lot of uncertainty as far as canceling the season for those other three leagues, ACC, Big 12, and SEC. I think there's a lot going on behind the scenes. And I just had an AD tell me that, you know, any combination of those three leagues could go forward without all the teams in the league. In the ACC, Nebraska could play 15 ACC games. If Scott Frost said we may have to look elsewhere. So it's very, very fluid right now.
All right, so that's what I didn't understand. Like, when we were talking about this before you came on. Like, let's say, I know Scott Frost is very, very demonstrative, and I respect it. Everybody wants to play. We all want to watch it. So he wants to play. Okay, so if it's not, for a moment, let's just assume that there is no Big Ten season, okay, as you said, and he wants to play 10 games or 11 games, and he schedules a couple from the ACC, a couple from wherever, Big 12, whatever it is. Okay, so you play football, but what does that accomplish? Because you're not chasing a conference championship. The money is obviously affected. You can't have different conference affiliation. It just seems so unrealistic, Dennis.
Well, think of those games as inventory for those schools to access the money that they're getting from the networks. You know, The networks call them inventory. They don't even call them games. The Big 12 owes the networks, I think ESPN and Fox, 57 games. Well, with a 10-plus-1 season, that would be 56, so they're almost there. Mm-hmm. And what you're talking about, there'd have to be some special arrangement. I just had an AD tell me that would be details. You know, if they were willing to do it, mm-hmm. you know, you'd figure out the money. He compared it to Sammy Sosa becoming a free agent July 31st. It's a rent-a-player. Nebraska would be a rent-a-team for a year.
And the NCAA would allow that for them to play under a different conference affiliation, in essence?
I don't think the NCAA would have a say in it. Those
really?
Those conference affiliations are agreements between those schools and the networks, like I said, that broadcast their games. I don't think the NCAA has anything to do with conference affiliation.
But wouldn't that have to be ironed out beforehand, like Notre Dame joining the ACC for five games and doing all the other sports? Like, midstream, it seems pretty aggressive to do that.
Well, the NCAA didn't have to approve that with the Notre Dame. That's why the Power Five are the Power Five. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to control their fate. Yep. So, I mean, there's the only conference affiliation that I know of is that you have to have six teams in a division to play a conference championship game, and that doesn't come into play here.
Wow. All right, so we're talking to Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports senior college football writer. So you told me that the Big 12, I think you said, has 57 games or inventory to satisfy, correct?
Right.
What is the Big 10's level of inventory? Do you have a number?
Yeah, I don't know. It's more because there's 14 teams.
Okay.
I just don't know.
Okay, no, I got you. It's almost immaterial, but the point still remains the same. So, to me, the Big Ten leaving all that money on the table, they're going to come across as responsible and in tune with doing the right thing, and the Big 12 is going to be considered, I believe, insensitive, and if this happens, and callous and reckless. And how could they be positioned as anything other than just just grabbing money at whatever risk.
If they do what? I wasn't clear.
If they play games.
If the Big 12 plays games or any of these.
Well, if you have three conferences that do play and you have the Big 10 and the Pac-12 that don't, the three conferences that do are going to look really bad, in my opinion.
I think there's optics there, but I also think that those conferences, if they can find their medical officials with enough to clear them, because a lot of this is about liability, then they would go forward. I mean, this was talked about a long, long time ago. Greg Sankey said on a radio show, do you think the conferences could move forward together? And he said that's not necessarily has to be the case. So he said then that they might. Back then, I interpreted that as him saying, y'all can do the rest you want. The SEC's playing football. I don't think that's necessarily the case right now.
Yep.
But look, we're having this discussion. The players want to play football. Everybody wants football. If you speak against that, you're a Debbie Downer. So, you know, you've got politics involved. The president's tweeting. So, I don't know what kind of pressure there might be.
Yeah. No, everybody's obviously weighing in. But I would say, Dennis, not everybody wants to. Well, I think everybody wants to play. Not everybody is playing. A lot of, or at least a couple of very high-profile first-round picks are Penn State, Virginia Tech player, cornerback. They're not going to play. Do you know if there's any sort of, within the contract for the TV networks, because I think a lot more star players will bounce, that there would be an adjustment in the rate per game if the stars aren't playing? Like, if I'm a network and 15 of the best players aren't playing in a given day, why would I pay them the money that I said I was going to pay them?
Yeah, I don't think there's that specific language. It's just about the games. In other words, whoever's playing for Michigan is going to do a number. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
That's why they own the rights to those games. Whoever Notre Dame is paying $15 million a year from NBC because it's Notre Dame. You know, they might be crappy that year, but it's going to draw a number. So I don't think it has anything to do with it. What I haven't been able to figure out is what makes a legitimate playoff if only a percentage of the teams are playing. You know, what does the contract say? Well, what if Texas isn't in there? What if USC isn't in there?
I know.
Are they paying $475 million a year if 50 schools are playing? Should they pay that much? That's
no.
What I can't figure out. Yeah.
Yeah, I got you. Listen, I know you have a hard out. You got some TV requirements.
Yep.
Thanks for carving out some time. Appreciate you, Dennis.
All right, thank you.
You got it. Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports senior college football writer. And he's definitely more optimistic than me. He's also more informed than me when it comes to all this stuff. For sure, this is what he does. This is his beat. I still maintain what I said. I still think it's bordering between incredibly ambitious/naive. I'd love to be wrong. Nothing more than I would love. Trust me, somebody who loves having some action on Saturday, some point spreads, we miss college football, not to mention just the sheer theatrics of the games and the competitive nature and seeing the prospects and having a sense of which players should get drafted where. I mean, the residue from no season is going to trickle in. I mean, it complicates scouting departments or the NFL. It's crazy. I mean, what do they do with eligibility if they do the right thing, like some of the schools are doing with the spring sports this past year? Then what does it do for roster construction, which is an additional burden on the coaching staffs? It's a mess. Smarter people than me will figure it out. We'll see. All right, Bob Huesler's update. We'll come back. We'll hit you with the blast. Bobby. And by the way, Bob, what happened to Stroman? He's opting out? Stroman's opting out, huh?
He's opting out over coronavirus. He's out with the calf injury, and
yep.
There was some thought maybe, BT, that he could help fill in a rotation that has lost another pitcher, Waka, for a while, and it's not going to happen. He's concerned.
All right, let me guess the number here. Scale of 1 to 10. Bobby is, locally on FAN. He's called Mr. Met. He's been called that forever. He's the biggest Met fan I know. I'm going to say that in terms of attaining, if there's a full season, attaining a wild card spot this year, on a scale of 1 to 10, your confidence level is
I'm going to say 8.
An 8?
Yeah, yeah.
An 8?
I'm liking this team. I really am. We just talked about Stroman, who is going to the sideline, yet it's an opportunity for a kid like David Peterson.
Yeah.
There's talk that maybe Gesellman could be stretched out or Lugo stretched out and put into that rotation.
That's a lot of ifs.
Yeah, well, I know. That's how I usually look at it. But there's a lot to like about this team.
No, I don't disagree with that. The Mets have talent. You know, I was doing local last week with Teague, and I did FAN the whole week. And one of the things I said, you know, only thing that worries me about the Mets is that, you know, when Porcello pitched well, they caught the ball. And they had a couple of their main guys were out. Like, Cano didn't play. Rosario didn't play. And I'm sitting here saying, oof, you know, what happens when these guys come back and they have to play? You drop off defensively, and they're not good enough pitching to overcome that. Eventually, Alonso's going to have 4 home runs in 7 games. They're going to start mashing. The pitching's a problem. But we'll see. You know, we'll see, Bobby. It's all good.
It's always the key. You know that.
I do know that. All right. Got the blast coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. It is time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day. See what we got cooking here. Coming to our buddies from O'Reilly Auto Parts. And let's see. We got a little something in Slack. This one coming from Tony Henson. How about the Suns? Is this Suns bubble team a legit threat to the Lakers, or are they just playing well right now? You know, I think that any team that has some young, high-octane players is a legitimate threat to any older team at this point. I really do. I think that, first of all, Devin Booker is a guy, you know, and Draymond Green got fined over the week. You see that he was on Inside the NBA with Charles, which was pretty cool, and the crew Kenny. And obviously, they've had a little back and forth, but they had their fun on set. And Draymond went into a bit of a diatribe trying to get his guy, I guess they're pretty tight, Booker out of Phoenix. And he got fined $50,000 for tampering. Because then Ernie said, you tampering? You trying to get him? Whatever he said. He's like, maybe. Or he said, yeah. I think he acknowledged. He basically said, yeah. So I think you had to fine him. But anyway, Phoenix is a team that can score a lot in a little. And those are teams that give a chance. They're not getting swept. I tell you, I don't think they get swept here, so I'll leave it at that. Beat them? Probably not. I think some other team beats the Lakers probably before the Lakers are, quote-unquote, supposed to get beaten. But Phoenix is coming. They are one piece away from being a big problem for a long time. There you go. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, where your car care needs, guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every single day. All right, D-Cell, you ready for a little blast here, pal? What do you got?
Let's do it.
Okay.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, here we go, BT. The okay. NFL is working out a plan for ref opt-outs, including a $30,000 stipend and a guarantee for a job in 2021.
Wow.
Plus, refs are testing a 5-man crew rather than a 7-man crew. Can games work with just a 5-man crew?
You can make the case that with a 7 crew is not nearly enough. Can it work? I mean, I think it could work with modified expectations. I think you've got to look at it that way and understand the situation that we're in. I would say that that's a very sensible approach by the NFL and sensitive to the vulnerabilities of older people, more so pertaining to COVID-19. And I know there's been some more findings, how it really affects the heart, inflaming of the heart, even for young people, which is maybe why the Big Ten so abruptly shifted course the last couple of days from putting out the schedule to, in all probability, not competing. But I think that if I had to guess, the average NFL referee's age is, you know, getting 50, almost 60. I mean, maybe I'm a little bit off with that, but they're older. So it seems generous, but it seems like they're doing the right thing. And I've got no problem with that. Good for the, and they've got the money to do it, so.
All right. According to a list composed on NFL.com, Russell Wilson is the best player in the NFL over the age of 30.
Over the age of 30. Let's get some big names who are over 30. Obviously Brady, but you know where I stand on him coming up. Rodgers is over 30. I'm trying to think of some great non-quarterbacks. How old's J.J. Watt? J.J.'s got to be 30 by now, right? Is he 29 or 30? Not that I'd even put him there, but I'm just thinking out loud. Obviously, Richard Sherman's over 30. J.J. Watt's 31. Yeah, I was right. Listen, the answer, I don't even know why I'm going through this waste of a time exercise. Russell Wilson is the most underrated superstar in the history of sports. So any question where he's the answer, I'm going to say, yeah, that makes sense. The fact that he's never received an MVP vote to me is one of the most unfair things. It's so obviously inconsistent with what we've all watched. Not only what we've watched on prime time. You know, you want to tell me over the years, well, you know, this guy or this team gets obscured a little bit because they play in this market and they're not on national broadcast. Seattle's always playing Sunday night. They're always playing big games. It's ridiculous. And they're usually in the playoffs. Russell Wilson, superstar.
Little NBA here, BT. The Cleveland Cavaliers are reportedly trying to put together a package for Ben Simmons. Okay. Possibly including this year's lottery pick and last year's number 5 pick, Darius Garland.
Yep.
Would this be a good deal for both Cleveland and Philly?
I was a little surprised that they drafted Garland. First of all, he didn't play a lot, as we know. He was hurt, but he's a big-time scorer. They had drafted a guard the previous year in Sexton from Bama. I would rather see... Unless, I don't really view Colin Sexton as a pure point. I guess that they would abandon the experiment with Ben Simmons at the 4, although it could always be interchangeable. Give Ben Simmons the basketball at the point, have Colin Sexton play off, and almost kind of... I think that would be better for Cleveland than moving forward with Garland and Sexton. I don't know if that would help the Sixers. I think there might be a better package out there, actually. So I would say no from Philly. I would say, in all likelihood, yes from Cleveland's point of view.
All right, BT. San Diego Padres 21-year-old shortstop Fernando Tatis Jr. Is off to a hot start, hitting .333 with 8 homers and 18 runs batted in. Is Tatis Jr. the most exciting player under the age of 25?
There's no question. He's the most exciting player in baseball at any age. Mike Trout's the best. He's more exciting than Mike Trout. I don't even need to name any other names. You have to watch, if you're a baseball fan, you must see what Tatis did that night. If you're not watching the Padres live or you don't catch him on the look-in on MLB Network, Fernando Tatis, first of all, has the highest mile per hour. I was digging into this even before I knew we were doing this today, this morning, ironically. He's got the fastest throw from shortstop or any infield all year. He's throwing 94 miles per hour across the diamond. 94 miles per hour. I mentioned the Teak this probably 2 weeks ago. I forget which. It was right almost like maybe the second game or third game of the season. He hit a ball over the shortstop's head on a liner that then very quickly hit the outfield grass and proceeded to hop. I lost track of the hop count because it was so quick and it kind of blended into two. At least 10 hops to the wall. Now, that happens in Little League. That could happen in high school. Might happen in college. 10 hops in a major league outfield where a center fielder's running a 6'6", 60 and the left fielder's not far behind and it was in left center. He is he's got natural charisma. He hits bombs. He goes yard leading off games. He's unbelievable. The answer is absolutely yes.
Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott was reportedly angry and dismissive of player unity requests to get paid during a conference call that we talked about last week. Does Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott need to be replaced?
Yeah, I don't think Larry Scott... We've had Larry on the show. You know, we had him on the show. And he was fine. You know, he's certainly a nice guy. There didn't seem to be a whole lot of respect for Larry Scott in terms of the command that he has of the conference. It just feels that way. I mean, there's been a lot of these rumblings, been a lot of innuendo, there's been a lot of hearsay. You know, is Larry Scott the right guy for the job? Can the Pac-12 get a better commissioner? Are they in the right hands? You know, I wish I knew a little bit more about, like, the real day-to-day nuance of the... But I'll tell you this, the Pac-12 network has not done well. I feel like when enough people say it, I almost don't want to say that because that could still unfairly, you know, whether it's I'm not even talking about the Pac-12 now. Just because a lot of people say it doesn't mean it's true is what I'm saying. You know, social media, you can scream. It doesn't mean that it's true. But it just feels like they need new leadership. I'm going to respectfully say yeah, because he was cool to us, but a lot of people are saying that.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
Have you seen... You're not watching baseball every night, are you? I'm not calling you out, but I know you're not, right?
No, I'm catching highlights.
I got you. Have you seen the highlights of Tatis?
The kid is incredible.
Number one, here's the thing. First of all, I outline. He throws 94. I think the best arm, Sean Dunstan, growing up from the Cubbies, who I actually played on the same AAU team years after. He was the first or third pick in 83. He's a lot older than me. But he once threw a ball, I think he was clocked at 97 or so from shortstop for the Cubbies. Sean Dunstan was a beast. But Tatis, right? He hits bombs. He runs like the wind. He runs hard. And the other thing is he looks cool in a uniform. You know, the wristbands and the hair and the swag. He just oozes. Now, he is it. He's like a modern Ricky without the unnecessary showboating. That's the best way to say it. And I think he's better than Ricky. And people are like, what? Ricky was tremendous. But, you know, Ricky got... I almost don't even want to go down this rabbit hole. But whatever, I've said it before. Ricky got a lot of its benchmarks because he just kept hanging on and hanging on and hanging on. And played for like 12 teams. Ricky, to me, was... A couple of years, he was absolutely one of the best in the game, for sure. You know, for a minute with the Yankees in the mid-80s, certainly with the A's. But... He didn't have a big arm in the outfield, you know. He wasn't, you know, he made the snatch catch, and he was flashy. He's an okay outfielder. Tatis is just so good, it's scary. Have a great Monday night. Teak is back tomorrow, so we'll roll together as we always do. Remain safe, remain sensible, and remain sane, and I'll catch you tomorrow. Have a great night. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.